This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi ta'ala min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. The scholars of Islam, they tell us that our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is categorized under two broad headings. You have outer acts of worship and you have inward acts of worship. Outward acts of worship are like the ones that you are engaged in at the moment, sitting in a gathering of knowledge or a gathering where Allah Almighty is being remembered, reciting the book of Allah, praying your prayers on time, a sister putting on her hijab and jilbab as Allah Almighty has commanded from her, etc., etc., and other outward acts of worship. As for the inward acts of worship, these things include ikhlas, sincerity, tawakkul, putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc. And our topic for today is one of those inward acts of worship. Rather, our topic for today is the very purpose of all of these outward acts of worship. And without this element that we are about to be speaking about today, a person's outward acts of worship is like a corpse, a soulless body, something that is of very little worth. We are speaking about what the scholars of Islam refer to as الذُّلُّ وَالْإِفْتِقَارُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Humility and expressing your bankruptcy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of you brothers have heard of this act of worship before? الذُّلُّ وَالْإِفْتِقَارُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Declaring, confessing, expressing your absolute weakness and bankruptcy and hopelessness at the gates of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. It is when a person prostrates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prayer whilst feeling that his heart has just prostrated to Allah as well. It is when a person walks the streets smiling, dressing well, looking very presentable, but if you speak to this person's heart, his heart is saying, I am a miskeen. I am at the mercy of Allah. I am so insignificant. I am so weak. Where do I go if Allah Almighty doesn't guide me and help me? This is our topic for today. Our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam would beg of this value that we are speaking about, as Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah narrates in his Sunan, on the authority of Anas. Although there is a difference of opinion with this chain of narration, that our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said, Allahumma ahyini miskinan wa tawaffani miskinan wa ahshurni yawm al-qiyamati fi zumrati al-masakin. Oh Allah Almighty, I ask you please to cause me to live in poverty and to die in poverty, and resurrect me, oh Allah, with the people of poverty on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. See, is our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking us here to get rid of our belongings and to leave our jobs and to give out all of our savings and to live below the line? Is this what our Messenger ﷺ is asking from us? It seems so, but it isn't correct. This is not what our Messenger ﷺ is referring to when he says, give me poverty, O Allah. How could this be the understanding, by the way? When it was our Messenger ﷺ who said in another hadith, لا بأس بالغنى لمن اتقى. There is no problem with a Muslim being rich if he has taqwa, fear of Allah. And our Prophet ﷺ would say to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas when he was passing away, إِنَّكَ إِن تَذَرَ وَرَثَتَكَ أَغْنِيَاءَ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَن تَذَرَهُمْ عَالَةً يَتَكَفَّفُونَ النَّاسِ. Oh Sa'd, for you to leave your inheritors rich, possessing wealth, this is better than leaving them poor, needing to beg from people. So how could this be the understanding? And we also know that our Messenger ﷺ would say three times in the morning, and with three times in the evening, Allahumma aafini fi badani, Allahumma aafini fi sam'i, Allahumma aafini fi basari, la ilaha illa ant, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wal-faqr. Oh Allah, please give me well-being in my body. Give me well-being in my hearing. Give me well-being in my seeing. La ilaha illa ant. There's no God except you. And then what does he say? Listen. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from disbelief and poverty. So you have in your earlier narration, the Messenger saying, Ya Rabbi, give me a life of poverty. Cause me to die with them and to be resurrected with them. And here our Messenger is asking Allah to protect him from poverty. How is this to be understood? Ya Allah. See, the poverty that our Messenger was asking about is not the poverty that comes to mind immediately. What is it then? Imam al-Bayhaqi rahimahullah gives us his opinion with regard to this hadith. As Ibn Hajar rahimahullah mentions in his book At-Talkhis, and by the way, this was also the opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. Al-Bayhaqi, he says, وَوَجْهُهُ عِنْدِي وَوَجْهُ ذَلِكَ عِنْدِي أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَطْلُبِ الْمَسْكَنَةِ الَّتِي يَرْجِعُ مَعْنَاهَا إِلَى الْقِلَّةِ بَلْ سَأَلَ الْمَسْكَنَ الَّتِي يَرْجِعُ مَعْنَاهَا إِلَى الْإِنْخِفَاضِ وَالتَّوَاضُعِ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. He says, my opinion with regard to this hadith, i.e. where the Prophet ﷺ is asking Allah for poverty, he says, my opinion with regards to this hadith is that our Messenger was not asking the poverty, which refers to the meaning of few resources, but he was asking from Allah Almighty poverty, the inward poverty of a believer. A poverty that inherits a feeling of submissiveness and weakness and humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was a prophetic aspiration. Ya Rabbi, make me somebody who is bankrupt to you, weak to you. I see myself as a slave. In fact, he would say about himself, Ana abd. Akulu kama ya'kulu al-abd. Wa ajlisu kama yajlisu al-abd. He says, I'm a slave. I like to eat like slaves they eat. And I like to sit on the floor the same way slaves sit on the floor. I want to see myself weak in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. It was never about wearing clothes that were stained. It was never about walking the streets with an arched back or looking miserable. This was never the idea of iftiqar, being weak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are speaking today about an action of the inward. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have experienced this worship. And we fast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've experienced this worship. We pay our zakah, we try to do our hajj, we try to read the Qur'an. We've experienced these worships. But then you ask yourself the question, how many people have experienced worship itself? Are you focusing with me, ya ikhwan? Yeah? We've experienced the outward acts. Yeah? The question now is, how many people have tasted the essence of worship? In fact, when you say the word worship, just to elaborate on this meaning, this is a translation of what? What is the Arabic of worship? Ibadah. طيب. Our relationship with Allah is a relationship of ibadah. And our title as Muslims are ibad, slaves. So you see, ibadah and ibad, they're very closely connected to one another. What is ibadah all about? Linguistically speaking, the scholars of Lugha, the Arabic language, they say, al-ibadatu aslu ma'naha al-dhul. Yuqalu, tariqun mu'abbad, ay tariqun mudhallalun qad wati'atuhu al-aqdam. They said the root meaning linguistically of the term ibadah, worship, is dhul. What is dhul? What is dhul? Yeah, exactly. It's humility. When the Arabs, they use the word mu'abbad in their day-to-day speech, for example, they describe a road as being mu'abbad, they mean that this is a road that is humble, it is low, and it is walked upon by people. It is treaded upon. Therefore, the root meaning of ibadah, worship, is humility. Therefore, if humility is not involved in the worship, then you haven't tasted worship. Is this clear, brothers? And this is absurd. To say that the majority of worshippers haven't tasted worship, this seems to be absurd. That's like saying, the majority of doctors have never been inside a doctor's surgery. This is absurd. Or the majority of architects, they have never been on a construction site. This is absurd. Or the majority of businessmen have never bought and sold. That's absurd. Or the majority of athletes have never been for a jog. That's absurd. But you know what is amazing? When you say the majority of worshippers have not experienced worship, unfortunately it's not absurd. It's an accurate reality. And I'm not the one who is saying this, just in case I'm accused of being mutasha'im, negative. Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says this. Listen to these beautiful words, brothers and sisters, which should be written, wallahi, with ink of gold. Or perhaps the ink that is more expensive than the ink of gold. The ink of the tears. Yeah? Ink from the tears of the righteous who weep from the fear of Allah. This is more valuable than gold. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, listen to these words and live with them, brothers and sisters. دخلت على الله من أبواب الطاعات كلها فما دخلت عليه من باب إلا ووجدت عليه الزحام فلم أتمكن من الدخول حتى أتيت باب الذل والافتقار إلى الله وإذا هو أوسع باب إلى الله وأقربه إليه وإذ لا معوق عليه ولا مزاحم فما هو إلا أن وضعت قدمي في تلك العتبة فإذا الله سبحانه قد أخذ بيدي وأدخلني عليه. He says, I have approached Allah Almighty from every single door of worship, trying to please Him. I've come to the door of salah, the door of fasting, and the door of zakah, and the door of ilm, and the door of etc., etc. He says, every time I approach one of these doors of worship, I notice that they are congested. There's so many Muslims at these doors competing with one another. Ibn al-Qayyim says there were so many believers there competing, I wasn't able to enter. Subhanallah. Ibn al-Qayyim, the man of ibadah, is saying I wasn't able to follow. I wasn't able to keep up. And that's true. Yeah? This is true. If you want to compete with the Muslims now in the field of prayer, it's difficult. We have to pray, but it's difficult to compete. You will find people who pray at night and they pray their duha and they pray subhanallah tarawih and. You try to compete with them in the field of fasting, you can't. Subhanallah, people fasting 3 days of each month, lunar days, they're fasting Mondays and Thursdays all throughout the year. They are fasting the days of Shawwal. And it's hard to keep up with them. You want to compete with people in the field of knowledge, Ya Allah. Subhanallah, people have memorized Mutun and they are revising and they have... Ibn al-Qayyim says, every time I came to one of these doors, I find it's congested with competitors. I can't keep up with them. He says, until I came to one door. This is the door of dhul, humility and declaring one's bankruptcy to Allah. He says, I found that this happened to be the widest door that leads to Allah. And the door that offers the quickest arrival at the pleasure of Allah. But he says, to my surprise, there wasn't anybody there. And I was able to enter. And there were no barriers. Ibn al-Qayyim says, I simply put my foot inside of that door. Meaning, I just took an initiative. Then Allah Almighty took me by the hand and He entered me inside of that door. This is the rare currency for many of our supposed practicing brothers and sisters. They're seemingly doing everything it takes to be classified as a righteous Muslim. But that important jigsaw puzzle is missing from their life. How often do they call upon Allah and weep to Him saying, Ya Rabbi, You are the most strong and I am the most weak. Ya Rabbi, all of the ropes with people have been cut off now and the only rope that remains is Your rope. Ya Rabbi, I am ignorant if You do not teach me. I am poor if You don't enrich me. I am ignorant if You do not teach me. I am unwise if You do not help me. Where are the Muslims who have this relationship of ibadah, of bankruptcy, of confession of your weakness to Allah? Where are these? This is what Ibn al-Qayyim is saying. Allah Almighty, He says, يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله والله هو الغني الحميد. Oh people, Allah says, look, Muslims, Jews, Christians, Hindus, atheists. Oh people, Allah has a message for everybody. What do you want to say to us? Oh Allah, listen to what Allah is about to say. A sentence that is strong enough to break every single bone of arrogance within the heart of an arrogant man. أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. You are the ones who are in poverty to Allah. And Allah is the most rich, worthy of all praise. Then Allah Almighty says, elaborating on this ayah, explaining to you what it means to be in poverty to Allah, إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبِكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. If Allah wishes, He will remove all of you from the globe and He will replace you with a different creation, and this is not difficult upon Allah. See, it's not about having money or not. We are bankrupt and poor to Allah in every single sense of the word. A 20-second earthquake and 500,000 people now have become a thing of the past. Ya Allah, this is kingdom. This is richness. We are in poverty to Allah Almighty. Express to Him your poverty, He will aid you with His richness. And express to Him your weakness, Ya Rabbi, I'm weak, He will aid you with His strength. Express to Him your ignorance, and watch how the knowledge of Allah will come your way. And that is why when you look at the words that we are taught to say by the Prophet ﷺ when we are sad, who here doesn't experience moments of sadness? Who here has never battled it out with a sin? Who here was never in a relationship and he struggled to cut out that relationship? Who? Who was never financially bankrupt? We have experienced one or the other. What is the word? What are the words that we are to say when we are in pain? They are words of dhul, humility, and iftiqar to Allah. Subhanallah al-Azim. How much Allah loves these words. As Ahmad narrates in his Musnad, on the authority of Ibn Mas'ud, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا قَالَ عَبْدٌ قَطُّ إِذَا أَصَابَهُ هَمٌّ أَوْ حَزْنٌ. There isn't any Muslim who is afflicted with grief, sadness or sorrow. And he says the following words. What are the words? Listen, ikhwan, and memorize them. Allahumma inni abduk. O Allah, I am your slave. Ibn abdik, ibn amatik. I am the son of your slave and the son of your female slave. So you are saying, O Allah, I am a slave. Oh Allah, I am your slave, the son of your slave, the son of your female slave. I am a slave, my mother's your slave, my dad's your slave. Nasiyati biyadik, my forelock is in your hands. Yeah, we hate to be grabbed by this part of our body and pulled, because it's the highest part of your body. It's humiliating to be pulled like this. You are saying, Ya Rabbi, this forelock of mine, it's in your hands. Madin fiyya hukmuk. Your command over me will be executed. عَدْلٌ فِيَّ قَضَاءُكُ. Your judgment over me is always fair. أَسْأَلُكَ بِكُلِّ إِسْمٍ هُوَ لَكَ. I ask you, O Allah, by every one of your names, سَمَّيْتَ بِهِ نَفْسَكُ, which you have called yourself, أَوْ أَنْزَلْتَهُ فِي كِتَابِكُ, or you have revealed this name in your book, أَوْ عَلَّمْتَهُ أَحَدًا مِّنْ خَلْقِكُ, or you had taught it to one of your slaves, أَوْ إِسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدِكُ, or you had kept the knowledge of this name to yourself. What do you want? What do you want, O slave? أَنْ تَجْعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ رَبِيعَ قَلْبِي. I ask you, O Allah, to make the Qur'an the life of my heart. وَنُورَ صَدْرِي, and the light of my chest. وَجَلَاءَ حُسْنِي, and the removal of my sadness. وَذَهَابَ هَمِّي, and a departure from my anxiety. Prophet ﷺ says, anybody who says these words, Allah will remove his anxiety and replace it with happiness. The companions, they said, O Messenger of Allah, we should memorize these words. He says, أَجَلْ يَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ سَمِعَهُنَّ أَنْ يَتَعَلَّمَهُنَّ. Every person who hears these words should memorize them. But what is the secret here? The secret is that these are words of dhul and humility and declaring your bankruptcy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah Almighty will answer. Focus with me, ya ikhwan. Have you ever pondered over the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ tells us that Allah is with the ill person? Have you ever thought about this one, as Imam Muslim narrates in his Sahih? A strange hadith which will surprise you at first when you hear it. The Messenger ﷺ says, Allah Almighty will say to one of His slaves on the day of standing, Ya ibn Adam, maridtu falam ta'udni. O son of Adam, Allah is saying to one of His slaves, O son of Adam, I fell ill and you didn't visit me. Subhanallah. The slave will say, O Allah, wa kayfa a'uduk wa anta rabbul alameen. O Allah, how am I to visit you when you are the Lord of the worlds? What does Allah say? Huh? He says, أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ عَبْدِي فُلَانًا مَرِضْ فَلَمْ تَعُدْهُ أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّكَ لَوْ عُدْتَهُ لَوَجَدْتَنِي عِنْدَهُ. Oh my slave, didn't you know that slave such and such became ill and you didn't visit him? Had you visited him, you would have found me, Allah, with him. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions in his book Madarij al-Salikin, why is it that Allah Almighty is with the ill person? He says, لِأَنَّ قَلْبَهُ مَكْسُورٌ وَلَوْ كَانَ مَنْ كَانَ. He says, because the heart of this ill person is broken. He's weak. This heart, this ill person is humble to Allah. Therefore, Allah is with him. Yeah? فَإِنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَانَ اللَّهُ مَعَهُ. Therefore, if this ill person is a Muslim, Allah will be with him. And Ibn Qayyim goes on to say, perhaps this is also the secret why the dua, the supplication, the requests of the mazloom, the oppressed, are answered. And as-sa'im, the one who is fasting, is answered. And the one who is musafir, traveling, is answered. What is the common theme between all of these three? Who can tell us? The hardship, which brings about what, Ya Abdul Hayy? The topic of ours, the humility, huh? The common theme with these three people, why the Prophet ﷺ said their request will be answered by Allah every time, is because the common theme is humility. Their hearts are broken to Allah. Arrogance is gone. They feel like a slave. Look at the mazloom, the oppressed. One of the three. He said, his rights have been usurped. He feels as being the subject of injustice. His heart is therefore broken. Thus Allah is with him. Ya Allah. As for the one who is fasting, his shahwa, his temptations have been dampened down now. He's hungry, he's thirsty, he's weak, he can barely get off the chair. Allah therefore is with him, because his heart is broken. And the one who is traveling, he's away from his wife, away from her husband, away from his children, away from his loved ones. His heart is broken, he wants to be with them. Therefore it's not about being hungry and thirsty, as Ustad Arjan said. It's not about just traveling or about being oppressed while your dua will be answered. It's because the heart is broken. Are you with me, brothers? Are you with me, sisters? Are you seeing how much Allah Ar-Rahman loves this act of worship, of humbling yourself to Him? Allah Almighty praises Ibrahim, Prophet Ibrahim, in chapter 9, and he says, إِنَّ إِبْرَهِيمَ لَأَوَّاهٌ حَلِيمٌ. Indeed, Ibrahim was a man who was awwah, and he was halim, meaning forbearing. Halim, forbearing, we know what that means. What is a person who is awwah? Ibn Ashur says in his tafsir, التحرير والتنوير, الأواه الذي يكثر من قول أوه. He says, الأواه is an individual who frequently says, oh. Allah says, Ibrahim was Allah. Have you ever sat next to a person who is ailing, suffering maybe the pangs of death? Have you heard the noise that that person makes? Pain. Ibrahim was described as being an Allah. He'd do it frequently. This is to exaggerate how much he says, but from pain? No. He would remember the fire, he would say, ah. Oh. He would remember the grave and the long journey ahead of him, he would say, ah. Oh. He would remember the responsibility he has to the kuffar, to the disbelievers outside, and he says, ah. Oh. Remembering that he is a slave to Allah, and he would say, ah. Oh. Allah. Allah Almighty wants us to express our bankruptcy and weakness to Him. Allah loves this act of worship. Ikhwan, in Ramadan we will be fasting, we will be praying Taraweeh, we will be reciting the Quran. Please plug in this ingredient to every one of these acts of worship. Let me tell you something strange. How long have we been going on for? Tayyib, not long left. Let me tell you something very strange. Did you know, my beloved brothers, that at times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put you as a Muslim in a situation, a testing situation, simply to bring out from you this characteristic of iftiqar, bankruptcy to Him. Focus with me. And let's give three examples. Sometimes you will make a dua to Allah. Ya Rabbi, allow me to pass my exams. Ya Rabbi, give me a wife. Ya Rabbi, whatever it may be. And then subhanallah, you spend months, years, and the dua is not being answered. And you say to yourself, why is my dua not being answered? Has Allah forsaken me? You don't know what's happening. You don't know what Allah has in store for you. What happens when you keep knocking at the door of Allah and knocking and knocking and requesting? With time, your heart now, it softens up and it melts and it breaks at the doorstep of Allah. You now feel really in need of Him. Therefore, because of that characteristic which now exists in your heart, Allah gives you a reward which is greater than if you had been given the response of your dua there and then. Is this clear? Is this clear? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that if it was left to me and you, 50, 60, 70 years would pass from our lives and not once we would say, Ya Rabbi, I am weak. Therefore Allah puts you in a situation where it forces you to say, Ya Rabbi, I am weak. Therefore your place in Jannah is raised. If it wasn't for that difficulty, what happened? Your place in Jannah would have been capped. Ya Allah, how Allah works. And we accuse Allah of not listening to our dua. Subhanallah. Another one of these ways where Allah Almighty puts you in a situation to bring out from you iftiqar, the topic of ours today, calamities, difficulties. I can guarantee, if I was to ask any of you, my beloved brothers, to come here and take this place, and to tell everybody about the time when you felt closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will the majority say? When I got married? La wallahi, no. When I had my first kid? No. When I found a job, or when I graduated, or, wallahi, none of these would apply, rarely. The majority of us, including me, will say that the closest I have ever been to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when I was in the most difficult and dire of situations. When I was bankrupt. When my mother passed away. When my child was born disabled. When I fell out with my spouse and we broke up. You experience difficulty. They say, this was when I was closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because at that moment you notice that every other rope had cut. And there's only one more rope now left for you. That's the rope of Allah. So you held on to it. You had no choice. And you called and you cried and you called and you cried. You became so close to Allah. And therefore when you look back at those difficult times, you say, wallahi, they were hard. But you know what? They were sweet. Why, on the level of iman that I had. This is why Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, listen to these words, ya ikhwan, wallahi, they are beautiful. Ya Allah, these words are so strong. Speaking about our meaning for today, and I have almost finished, bear with me. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, listen. Inna Allah Azza wa Jalla qad yabtali ibadahu bishiddah. Qad yabtali ibadahu bishada'idi. فَتَتَعَلَّقُ الْقُلُوبُ بِهِ وَيُلْجِئُهُمْ إِلَيْهِ فَيَحْصُلُ لَهُمْ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ مَا هُوَ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ زَوَالِ مَا يَكْرَهُونَ مِنَ الشِّدَّةِ. Wallahi, these are beautiful. He says at times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests one of His slaves with great difficulties. Therefore, Allah forces that person to look to Allah. Allah compels you now to look to Allah for help. And therefore the heart now becomes attached to its creator. And therefore the level of iman that you get because of this difficulty is greater for you and more beneficial than the remover of the calamity itself. You with me, my brothers and sisters? How much Allah Almighty loves this act of worship. I will close with one more. And subhanAllah, I had a lot to cover with you today, but time is pressing on us. And I promised some brothers we will be finishing by 9, so I will try to finish before then. A third situation where a person is put in by Allah Almighty, which forces you to express your weakness to Him. Sins. Allah Almighty at times opens up a door of sin for one of the most righteous of slaves. Why? Why, brothers? Who can give us an answer? Throw anything out. Why would Allah Almighty do that? Because Allah loves to forgive, طيب. But before forgiveness can take place, what does that slave have to express? Repentance, afwan. Nadama, regret. A broken heart. Bankruptcy, iftiqar to Allah. Allah wants to remind that righteous person, hey, you can sin. Don't forget. He's, alhamdulillah, praying, fasting, giving lectures, listening to lectures, benefiting, organizing halaqat, improving her appearance, raising children, etc., etc. And then subhanAllah, with time, hidden arrogance that begins to appear in the heart of this individual, which is so discreet that he denies it. I'm not arrogant, astaghfirullah. Arrogance is haram, but he is arrogant. And his parents can't even talk to him anymore now, because he's righteous. And his friends, they can't communicate with him anymore, because he feels he's a level above everybody else. Therefore, what does Allah Almighty do? Out of mercy, he opens up for him a door of sin, and he enters it. What does he do the moment he commits the sin? He lowers his head. Astaghfirullah. Wow. I forgot that I could sin. And then he begins to call upon Allah. And he begins now to bring iftiqar in his life that was missing all those years. He had a lot of acts of worship, mashallah. And they were increasing, these acts of worship. But what was missing? Dhul, humility, crying, weeping, feeling that I am nothing, it's all from you. Therefore Allah opens up a door for sin, and what? His heart breaks, and it takes him to Jannah. That is why some of the pious predecessors would say, a person may commit a sin, and that sin will take him to paradise. And a person may do a good deed, and that good deed will take him to the fire. Ya Allah, how does that work? Ibn al-Qayyim says, easy. You commit a good deed, and then you continue to remember that good deed when you're awake, when you're asleep, when you're standing, when you're sitting, when you're lying down. And you begin to feel impressed with yourself and content. Man, I'm going to enter Jannah from every one of its 8 gates. I wonder which one I'm going to go through. And subhanAllah, now it's like it's a given. Until this good deed ends up taking you to the fire. And a person may commit a sin, like we all do. But he remembers that sin in the morning and the evening. And he thinks, Ya Allah, has Allah forgiven me? He remembers it when he's standing, sitting and lying down. Has Allah forgiven me? And then that sin, thinking about it, pushes him to do more good deeds and more good deeds. Ya Rabbi, forgive me for that sin I committed. Until that sin ends up taking him to where? La ilaha illallah. To Jannah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make Ramadan a means of forgiveness and a means of unity between the Muslims and a means of removal from jealousy and rancor and hatred from our hearts towards one another and a fresh new beginning for the Ummah of Islam. I ask Allah ta'ala to make it like this. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.